Hello, this is John Alsop, and welcome to your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. Scarborough had a vintage fair recently, and it was very busy. And I went, as I do, through the place looking at marketing things. And I was looking for stalls and stands that had websites and that were using QR codes. And I know QR codes are a little bit geeky and a little bit... I mean, they're not... everybody doesn't use them. But... The fair was very busy and we were being jostled along. It would have been quite easy to capture a QR code and less easy to capture a website address. So that's all. That's your reason for using them. But also, you could have a QR code for follow me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, come to the website. And then, as the stall holder, you're capturing people as they go past as fans on your Facebook page or followers on Twitter. That can only be a good thing. Now, back in the day when I was doing direct mail and PR and that kind of thing, there was the big deal pre-internet was database marketing. And you were meant to capture people's data and then mine that data for useful marketing campaigns. And the example in the book that I read has really stuck with me, and I'll share it with you now. The idea is that you run a boutique clothes shop. And so you have, I mean, for instance, if it were for me, I'm 6 foot six tall. I have size 14 feet. So the first thing that I need to know when I go in a shop is what will fit me. I also looked back at... I got a book at one point that was about style, dress, finding clothes that suit you and personal style, I think it was. Not that you'd be able to see the effects of that now, but anyway... It did tell me that it kind of split people out into about five different colour palettes. And I was a kind of an ice blue colour palette. I've got blue, light blue eyes. And it's worked ever since. I'm a kind of light blue shirts just bring everything out. So that's what I head for in a shop. Surely, if the shop stored a little bit of that data and then emailed me to say, John, I've got two size 14 shoes in right now. They tend to go quickly. Do you want me to put them aside? Or, here's a picture of them. Let me know if you're interested. By the way, I know you like this particular style of blue shirt, then, we have some of those in as well. And to go with it, these trousers work, and I know we've got them in your size. So, that kind of thing, we've just had a new delivery, and it suits, and here's the stuff that's of interest to you. And with database marketing, the promise was that you could do that. And pretty much each, for a boutique, you might write those emails individually, but based on the data that you have. Now we have the internet, and that seems automatable. It seems perfectly possible to say, for people to say what colour their eyes are, what kind of skin they've got, what kind of neckline they prefer, what whether they are boho or whatever, and for them then, when they come to a website, to see things that interest them. All I'm interested in, if I go to a website of clothes, I don't want to trawl through everything they've got. That's the wrong way around. I want to trawl through the things that fit me. That's me focused. That's the dream. Haven't seen it anywhere. Nobody seems to care about that. But if you run a clothes shop, talk to me and we'll do it. Because I think that will be a stonker. Okay, next up, just a simple test, but make sure if you have a page that's converting, test text links versus buttons. It's just, you know, just worth testing that because it could be a big difference. Now, the other thing, I was looking at an example, PhotoShelter do a good guide to social media for photographers, and I was looking at one of their example photographers. PhotoShelter is the software that they're selling. So that's a nice kind of idea, first of all, that they are selling the software and the hosting. So it doesn't matter to them, it adds value for them if they give away loads of advice about social media. It matters to people in social media because PhotoShelter has given away a load of information that people in social media might want to sell. But for PhotoShelter, you know, it adds value to them. So you could give away things that don't take away from your own business, but, you know, they kind of encroach on others, but that's life, isn't it? So I could issue, you know, a story for photographers about where to get free hosting and how to use Facebook, you know, and how you don't have to pay for PhotoShelter or Pixar or anything else. Okay. So, in the example that they gave, there's a guy who takes pictures, obviously, a photographer, organises his pictures very well, and is at the top of Google for a number of different phrases. Very nice. Licensing one of his photographs for a website would be £377 per calendar month. I get my images from iStock, and they tend to cost about a tenner forever. So I'm just curious about that. I don't know the answer. I don't know whether that photographer guy sells any photographs at that kind of price. I'm not saying it's not a justified price. I'm just saying, you know, is his photograph 37 times or more? I mean, if you leave it on your website for 12 months, is it, you know, 100 times more effective money-wise, conversion-wise, than a photograph from iStock? I could see that it might be his way of introducing his wares and adding a value to those wares so that he can get commissions to go out and take photographs. Fine. But it just seems, I don't understand that disparity. Next up, just a simple thing. If you put up, this is true and that's true and I think this on your website, it's all just so much verbiage. If you can link to your, I mean, anybody who's gotten an education will naturally want to link, to cite their sources, to link to references. SEO-wise, it's a little bit bad because you're sending PageRank off to those places, but the upside is that it boosts your site's credibility. You could manage the PageRank drain by linking, by having a page of links and referencing them properly. So you could end up, so that only the links page or the references page is linking out, so you're leaking very little of your page rank. And you just send people off that way, or you could do it with JavaScript or whatever, you could do it those kinds of ways, of course. But according to the Stanford Web Credibility Research guidelines, showing that what you're saying has roots in science or trusted opinion gives you more credibility, and if you have more credibility, your voice is more persuasive, therefore you will persuade more, you'll get more of your goal achieved. So try and use citations and links on your site. And finally, it was if you look at paragonhotel.com, that's actually one of my inherited sites, but one of the things that I did on the rooms page is add in a flash about which are the most popular rooms. So it's got, I think, first our most popular room, our third most popular room, our second most popular room, and that genuinely is fed by bookings and room popularity. And it changes, so you might see it today as that and tomorrow as something else. It reflects the popularity of those rooms at the time. It's probably a month window or something like that, I can't quite remember. But the idea of that is to show, is to give the, because we don't have a booking system on the page, we want to give the sense that there are others looking at these pages and wanting to book them. So if you look at a page and you see, well, if you look at a room in this B&B and you go, well, that looks like a really nice room, shall I book it, shall I not? But it's flashed as the most popular room, you're more likely to ring up and book it, so and to want it. So that's the idea behind that. I forget what the improvement in conversion was, but there definitely was one. So it's that feeling of, there was a story I was reading the other day, I think it was in, what was it in, let me just have a look. Oh, it's probably in Influence, Cialdini. It's the story of the guy who funded himself through college by buying a car below book price, a second-hand car below book price on one weekend, cleaning it up, and then on the next weekend, putting it up for sale at a higher price. And excuse the noises. And so he cleaned the car up, put it up for sale the next weekend. And then when people booked, obviously at a higher price, when people booked to come to see the car, he gave them all the same time. So the buyers all turned up, obviously, you know, one at a time. But then it was a case of, well, okay, you're looking around the car, next person, if you could just wait over there while this person's looking at the car, then suddenly the person who's looking at the car has an urgency, it's a now or never, because if he didn't buy it, then the next guy would. And equally, when the second guy got a go to look around the car, and a third person came along to look, then the pressure was on them. So he funded himself through college on that basis alone. And that was this feeling that there's a time limit to, you know, that this opportunity is slipping away, and also that other people want this, so I'm justified in wanting it too. So it must be a fairly good car or a good bargain because other people want it as well. So the same kind of application here on the paragonhotel.com/rooms. That's it for today, and we shall meet again over the ether tomorrow. All right, have a good day. Cheers.